Welcome to Midland Classical Academy's Good Night Dad podcast. Our promise is to partner with parents to develop Christ-like leaders. Now here are your hosts, General Eccles and Brandon Schumann.
Welcome back to the Good Night Dad podcast. Today is episode 6. I'm joined by Brandon Schumann. I'm General Eccles, and today we have a very special guest, a good friend of mine. Ron Miller is currently the athletic director at Midland Classical. Ron has been foundational in the sense of having been there forever, as long as we've been there. He's been actively involved in development of pretty much every aspect of the school. He was the dean of students at one time. But today we're going to specifically focus on the athletic philosophy at MCA. So Ron, welcome. Tell us a little bit about you and your family, then let's talk about athletics.
Thanks, General. It's been a privilege to be a part of MCA for almost 20 years now, and that's exciting. Athletics has kind of been at the heart of what I do for all those 20 years. It's certainly been a passion of mine, and now I get to do that more specifically. Athletics at MCA, we hope to put out an excellent team on the court, but we also hope to build really character through effort, and that's part of what the athletic philosophy is. A number of years ago, Tim Dunn and I sat down and we came up with this acronym called the Knights, since we are the MCA Knights. And we decided to put this acronym into practice and put banners up all over the gym. And K for Knights is Know My Role. The N for Knights is Now is the Time. I is Impact Through Character. G is Glory and Pleasing God. H is Heartily Excel in Effort. T is Train with Urgency. And the S is Striving is Winning. And each of those are pretty self-explanatory, but I'll clarify a couple of them that seem to be, I would say, the most misunderstood in our culture today. The importance of Know My Role is for the player so that they can have the correct expectations of what to do on the court. For instance, I coach basketball at Midland Classical, and if I have a player that's a scorer and they decide that they're going to be selfish and not shoot the ball because of fear or because of the fear of the outcome, then they're not doing their role on the court. It takes courage to shoot the basketball. It takes courage to take on that responsibility. In contrast to that, a player that might not have the skill of shooting yet might have the role of being a defensive stopper, or they might have a role of getting so many rebounds a game. Even they might have a role that they are a substitute player on the bench. And some of my most powerful players have been players that have not got a lot of playing time over the years. They begin to impact through their character the rest of the team. Everybody knows what their role is, then it makes it a lot better for the team, for unity, and for that player to have current reality about who they are. So that's Know My Role. Then the last one is Striving is Winning. And we're such a results-based culture that if you win, then that means you're successful. If you lose, that means you're not successful. And we just don't think that's true. We think there's a way to win, and that way to win certainly has class, it has dignity, it has respect. It also has effort in the sense that we are trying to win every game to the best of our ability, and we're trying to play excellent basketball, but we are comparing that standard of what we're doing on the court, not what the scoreboard says at the end of the game. Certainly there are times that we might win a basketball game, but we have played very poorly. And that's not winning. Winning is when we execute what we're supposed to do on the floor, both from a sports standpoint and from a character standpoint. If we win the game, but our attitudes are really poor and we don't respect the other team, then we're not winning either. That striving is winning is striving, that word, we don't really use that word in our culture today too much, but striving is putting forth the most effort you can, both physically, mentally, and emotionally, on a continuous basis to try to get to an outcome that you really don't have control over. But you're striving to get to that outcome, and you're encouraging your team, and you're trying to pursue excellence in your skill set to just do your best. It's a difficult thing to do.
anytime I see an acronym, just from my experience in corporate world and in churches, it's easy to dismiss an acronym because whether it's a sermon or in the corporate environment, typically there's some good points that are made in an acronym and then there's just some filler. We've been at MCA for 12 years, known Ron that long, and we've heard this reference countless times. Sometimes it's athletically related, often it's not. That how do you see this translating into just being a dad and being a better person and being more involved?
You could pick any one of these specific points and focus on that as a dad if you want to. And it will help any aspect of your relationship with your kids. It'll help any aspect to focus on what is the philosophy behind it. If I just pick one of those out, yeah. Let's say train with urgency. So there's a limited time that you have as a dad to affect your kids at each season in their life. When your kids are younger, when my kids were younger, I have four children. The oldest graduated from Midland Classical last year. And then I have an upcoming junior, a freshman, and an eighth grader, three boys and one girl. And at each season of their life, it seems that there's a limited amount of time to meet them where they are and impact them to walk with Christ. For us, on a daily practical way, train with urgency means when you come to practice, we're going to train like it matters. We're going to have these layup drills like it matters. And we try to make it as game-like as we can because that's real life. That's where it matters on the court. Well, the same is true when I come home as a dad or when I'm up at school and I see one of my own kids. When they come to me, whether it's a triumph, they're excited about a grade they got, they're excited about a new friend that they made, whatever that is, then I have one moment in time to express to them excitement or congratulate them or encourage them toward the truth in that moment. It's also true if it's a problem or if it's a disappointment, a trial that they're going through, I have a certain amount of time to address that. And that's just super important to understand that as a parent. And I think sometimes we think, or I did this for a number of years, I can't wait till my kids get this age. I can't wait till they get this next age. And somehow you communicate to yourself that this right now is bad, but once we get to this next stage, it's going to be a lot better. What I realized was, no, right now is the time. And now is the time when my character can impact my kids' character. The more it lines up with what Christ is saying in God's word and the attributes of God, love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, all the fruits of the Spirit, then the more my influence affects my kids in a positive way. The more it lines up with the things of the flesh, which I have those too, then the more it impacts my kids in a negative way. But this limited time is important to understand, to know that you have a limited time as a dad to really impact your kids. Where do you want to take them? With athletics, it's real easy to do. If we as dads can just begin to understand that athletics is a microcosm of the rest of their life, and athletics is usually something that's pretty important to young men and young women. When you find something that's important to them, then they're willing to listen, I would say first, and they want to know how can they get better. I have few players that we have at Midland Classical that just say, I don't really care. I don't really care if I play well or not. That doesn't seem to be the issue. The issue is overcoming the selfish nature that we all have. And that seems to be more of the challenge that I have with my own children, in the sense that they want to please, they want to do well. They just need instruction on how to do that and encouragement or discipline to do that.
I do want to make a quick reference to the mcanights.org website, and there is an athletics tab that has more detail than we can get in today as far as what specific sports and the season, athletic calendar, that kind of stuff. So check out the website. But Ron, tell us, 20 years, so there's, I would imagine that's gone from obviously a startup school, startup programs, one at a time, building, to what we have today. Where are we at and how did we get here?
It's interesting that you asked that because I forget who asked me that the other day. It might have been Brandon, we were talking. And he asked the similar question, what do you think the biggest difference is between MCA in 2001 and MCA today? I answered it this way, that You know, when you start an organization, that process, there's just so many unknowns. And so there was first of all, MCA was an unknown in the community. And so when there's an unknown, there's a lot more experimental type of an attitude, and it's kind of a pioneer attitude. And that attitude is seen when you interview new parents and you ask them, why'd you come to MCA in 2001? And they'll say, we heard about it, we thought we'd try it. We'll try it and see if it'll work. And there was a lot of that, and that seems very normal. Today, MCA is a destination for parents. It's well known in the community. It's not a surprise when people show up to MCA, they know what they're signing up for, they know what the school is. It's helped a lot because you know as a parent, you know as a family what you want to be a part of. There are a lot of different schools in Midland, and each school has its own identity. It's really great when, as a parent, you get to go, yeah, I want to be a part of that school. I think that's where we're at. The other thing that's different is staff is kind of the same thing. There's a real desire out there for staff to come and work at MCA. It's a destination, and we get a lot of applications. I want to come work there. The other aspect is that curriculum development classes, tutors know what's required. We know where we're going in each class. In the early days, a lot more experimental. It was just a little more freelance because we just hadn't developed all the classes to the extent they are today.
Yeah.
Ron, what would you say the athletic vision is for the grammar school? To my knowledge, we don't have sports teams and practices, and I mean, maybe we do, but what's the vision at the grammar school? How does that play out during recess time or during PE time?
During recess or PE, the grammar school is really about activity. It's about learning how for their bodies to be active. It's about learning how to control locomotor skills, much like any other elementary program. So just your basics of body movement and letting the kids discover how to interact, maybe boundaries of how to play games and certain rules and those type things. As they get to fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, we do have a couple of teams that are led by parents that might play at the Y or in volleyball, or they might play basketball or baseball even. We've got a couple select baseball teams that aren't all MCA players, but a lot of them are MCA players. The teams that are at the grammar school are more parent-led, and it just through word of mouth as far as athletics go. As general philosophy with athletics at MCA is the younger the team, the more participation. The older the team, the more we're concerned more about the skill level of the players. And so as they move through that process, we want a seventh grade volleyball team or basketball to have high participation. And then as they get up to the varsity level, it becomes more refined and you develop your skills and then get playing time.
So at the grammar school, some of the things that they learn are how to do group game dynamics, how to be a good winner, how to lose with grace, and be an encouraging teammate and just participate and move.
Exactly. It lines up with grammar, logic, rhetoric. You know, if you think about what's the grammar phase of athletics, the grammar phase is learning how to run, learning how to move, how to skip, how to hop, all those type things that we're trying to develop within the children.
That really is classical athletics.
That's right.
I haven't thought of it that way. As parents and specifically as dads, how can we partner with or contribute to our students' athletic success, or maybe how do we define our students' athletic success as dads?
This is an interesting topic. One of the things as a dad that I've tried to do is be a learner. At MCA, that's valued. We kind of talk about that incessantly to our classes, to our teams, is that we want to be growing and we want to be a learner. And dads that are listening out there right now, I look back 20 years ago or 15 years ago, and I can't believe that somebody would even give me a coaching job or that I was a parent, because I've learned so much in the last 15 years. And that's not to say I've got everything figured out, but it's like this past year, I learned the greatest thing that I've ever learned regarding athletics, my perception of my kids. And more importantly, the perception of not just my players on the court, but my perception of my own personal children. I had a dad ask me at a baseball practice about one of my children, and they said, how come you're not coaching your kids, or overcoaching, I would call it, from the sideline? For example, when he comes up to bat, you're not like correcting him, saying, get your arm up, you know, let's see the ball. There's all kinds of statements that parents make, and they're not bad. It's more the attitude toward, am I trying to keep my kid from making a mistake in that moment? I'm trying to tell them everything kind of like a fire hose of, here's what you need to think about when you're getting ready to hit a baseball. In all honesty, what you need to be thinking about when you hit a baseball is not really thinking about it too much. You just need to do it. I realized that I have a tendency, a propensity to do that because I am a coach and I want them to have the right technique and I want all those things, but I was causing more problems with my kids, especially if it's dad that's doing it, because they want to please dad even more. And I began to realize that I wasn't doing this. And I wasn't doing this with one of my children. The other three had done it. And this particular child is my youngest. And what I realized was there are a lot of factors, but because of his skill set, because of his experience, because of how he played the game, I began to have confidence in him when he was on the court or when he was on the baseball field. And therefore, I didn't feel a need to try to correct him. And the real confidence was his decision-making, not necessarily his physical skill. As this parent asked me this on the sideline, I began to evaluate, why do I not correct my youngest son? And that's when it hit me. It hit me in the sense that because I perceive him in a different way. And I perceive him in a way that I have confidence that he can do what he's doing on the field, and he can do what he's doing in life, and he can do what he's doing in these other areas. And I had that confidence in my oldest son in other areas. It just wasn't necessarily on the playing field. It was a revelation for me as a parent, because I think what we want as parents is we want our children to be confident about life. And obviously, we think that if they know the truth will set them free. So there's spiritual, there's emotional, there's physical, there's all these things that we want them to have confidence in. But sometimes we undermine that, or I undermine that as a parent, by my delivery, by what I'm focused on, instead of aiding them and saying, you can learn this, you can do this, I've got confidence in you. It might be difficult, and this might not even be what you're the best at. One of my children, they can't really play ping pong. Well, if I spend all my time trying to teach them how to play ping pong and evaluate them like that, I'm not going to breed confidence. I need to, as a parent, realize, here's the strength of this child, here's the strength of my other children. How can I fan the flame so that it matches up what they excel at, and then they can begin to learn how to be confident in all areas of life because of that model. But it was all about my perception. It wasn't so much about my child, but it was more about my perception and how I was parenting.
As dads, we have an opportunity to help provide that external foundation of confidence in who our kids are. And then as they sense that from us, then it gives them their own ability to develop their confidence on basketball courts or on the baseball fields or in volleyball or in whatever endeavors that they're doing. And so they take their cues from us as parents, is
yes.
What I hear you saying.
Yes, and I think, let me clarify one other thing, is that I really study my children. I mean, I watch them because I want to know them and I care about them. I try not to watch them with a critical eye, but it's very important to be truthful with your children. What I mean by that is I would pick out things that I'd already observed that they were doing well and try to encourage that. I didn't want to paint a picture that, oh, you can do it. In other words, my kids are not cross-country runners. So they ran cross-country for a couple years, and I basically told them, I said, you know, you can run cross-country, but it's pretty much a character building. You're not cross-country runners. You're not ever going to be fast for that mileage. And so one of the worst things I could have done as a parent would be to say, you're just not trying hard enough, or you need to practice more, because you can run a 5-minute mile. I realize it's just not going to happen. They know that. I mean, they know deep down. I didn't try to set it up to where you can do anything you want to do or these vague aspirations. It's real specific. And I try to really be in current reality, to use an MCA term, that there are certain skills that my kids have and there are certain skills that they need to develop. And I think when we get in trouble as parents, especially in the athletic realm, is when we're not in current reality about our own children and we're not willing to admit.
That's really helpful, because I wanted to be Jerry Rice until I was 19 years old.
Yeah.
And I'm obviously not
You're not Jerry Rice.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, I think that's a big deal, is for us as parents in this culture, that we certainly want to be positive with the kids. But a pitfall is to not share truth.
Ron, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, how does the MCA athletic philosophy, as you've been describing, fit in with the larger vision of MCA of engaging minds, pursuing Christ, discovering greatness?
I'll use an example of a student that graduated a couple years ago. I think he played on the varsity level 10 plays. That probably averages out to maybe 2 minutes of basketball in his career at Midland Classical. And he had more of an impact and discovered more greatness with impacting the players around him than some of our players that have averaged a high scoring percentage or whatever it might be. And I look back on it, and the reason that that happened was his mind was engaged at every practice. His mind was wanting to be the best he could be. He played for the other guys on the team. He played in such an unselfish way. And the other guys recognized that, and he became their hero. He almost became the whole school's hero. When he got in the game, everybody would cheer, and everybody recognized it as a real Rudy moment. And if you know this guy, it's just even more powerful. And so that discovering greatness kind of sneaks up on you, and it doesn't seem to ever be in a way that you think it's going to be. I think it's servant leadership. It's what Christ talked about, and if you're really going to be a first in the kingdom, you've got to be last. And I think that's what we're shooting for. I also have had players that have been quite good, and they've gone on to play college ball. They've done it as a servant as well. But it's engaging minds in practice and engaging this idea of our philosophy, that we play as hard as we can, but if our opponent falls down, we help them up, that we're going to be respectful. We're going to respect the officials. There's just a way we're going to carry ourselves on the court, and there's a way we're going to carry ourselves as coaches and a way we're going to carry ourselves as parents. And the more that we can line that up with being unselfish, the more of an impact we have in culture. If our fans and our coaches and our players can really be Christ-like, and that's difficult. It's difficult not to yell at a referee. But gosh, what if we could get to where we're doing that? And then all of a sudden, we're on a plane that we can really impact a lot of people because of our character. And that's the same thing we're asking of these kids. The greatness that we're looking for is when we walk in the gym and the other team says, man, I'm glad you're here, because you're the toughest team we play, but you're the classiest team we play as well. That's the greatness we're looking for.
So if Jesus were a fan, he would cheer his team on wholeheartedly and complain about nothing. That's tough.
I think it'd be difficult to be just like Jesus.
Yes.
That's what we're striving for. Yep. Again. Striving.
That's pursuing Christ.
Yep. He would certainly be intense. It matters.
Amen. Amen. Well, Ron, thanks so much for joining us this morning. I just want to commend you for 20 years of service to the school. You're a dear friend. I consider you one of the fathers of the school. I feel like the more I get to know you, the more I learn about the school and the leadership. I'm just confident that we're in good hands, that we have good vision, that we have good intentions, that we have people that have more than good intentions. They put the rubber to the road, so to speak, and you're one of those. So I just commend you for that, and thank you for joining us this morning. Just want to reference the website, mcanights.org. Check that out for a little more information about the athletic program. And anytime you can, stop Ron, shake hands, and talk to him about the athletic philosophy at MCA. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Goodnight Dad Podcast, brought to you by Midland Classical Academy. Engaging minds, pursuing Christ, discovering